Well, we're finishing our series in our Christmas Advent series of Come Home to Jesus. Come Home for Christmas. And we've learned a lot. We've learned that the way home is to follow Jesus. That we can't go there carrying our old baggage. We have to give up our sins to Jesus' forgiveness. And that the deep joy isn't always in the journey, but in unwavering faith and hope that the destination is worth it. At Christmas, we remembered again the good news that God is with us all the way on this journey. So today we're talking about the blessings of home. I want to read a scripture from the prophet Micah in the 5th chapter, beginning at the 2nd verse. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Imagine everybody opened some packages in this past week. If it's anything like my family, Christmas morning is exciting, but then you've got several other parts of the family to meet and to see and to get. Usually the packages sort of keep coming. At least most of the week. And what I have observed about Christmas packages, or really any presents that you get, any gifts, is that the package can tell you something about what's inside. You know, I just got a pack. You see if I can, did I put it away? What did I do with it? Oh, too bad. If you would see it, I wish that I had not put it away, because you would see it and I'd pick it up and I'd show you and you'd be like, oh yeah, Bill gave you that. It's well done, it's beautiful, it's crafted, right? You can tell that somebody with an eye for beauty and design wrapped that package. And you know that probably there's something really nice inside of it, something that I don't even know how to use, so some sort of diffuser. So yeah, the packages tell you something, right? If it's perfectly wrapped, it's from either from Bill or from the store, right? They wrapped it for you, or maybe from that grandma that, you know, really spends a lot of time wrapping the perfect packages. And then there's the big ones, right? The ones that no paper can contain. So you know that that's going to be something epic for Christmas morning. There's a commercial on TV right now that they say it's like, you know, it's easier, the Geico's easier than deciding which package to open on your birthday. And the little girl goes, the big one! And it's like a pony that's got wrapping paper sort of taped all over it. It's like you can tell it's just a pony standing there with wrapping paper taped all over it, right? And the best ones are the ones that are sort of covered in tape and the gaps are sort of there and the bow isn't quite right and the paper's folded all weird. Right? Because you know that those were wrapped by a child or a husband. And what's inside is going to be thoughtful, right? Something that's going to be maybe homemade. Maybe something that you wouldn't expect to be the greatest gift, but oftentimes it is. Micah, the prophet in this passage, is talking to the people of Israel and Judah before the fall. He is prophesying that the two kingdoms, the divided kingdom in the north of Israel with its capital at Samaria, and the southern kingdom of Judah with its capital at Jerusalem, are going to fall, that the kings will be taken away, that the people will be taken into exile. Now, to the people at that time, things looked really good. On the outside, their two kingdoms were in place, the money was rolling in, there was some peace and security, things looked pretty good on the outside, but on the inside, Micah tells us there was abuse of the poor, that the leaders were not following God's law and they were leading the people astray, and the priests were not giving good sacrifices. Though on the inside there was decay, moral decay of the system that was going to bring down both kingdoms. And through that prophecy, Micah looks beyond all of that,
beyond the kingdoms, to the words that he speaks that I read
today. That beyond the fall, beyond the loss of their kings and the loss of their kingdoms, God would then bring a new king. A new king in the line of David, but it wouldn't be in the way that they would expect. You see, both kingdoms argued that their kingdom was the true line of David. The kingdoms had been divided and founded by different warring factions after David had died and his son Solomon had died, who were both arguing that, hey, we're the real line of David. We're the real Davidic king. We're the real Jews in the north and in the south. They were fighting and arguing, saying, no, we're the real ones who are the line of David. And Micah says, no, you've got it all wrong. The real king, the real Davidic king, is going to come from Bethlehem. Not from Samaria, not from Jerusalem, but from this very unexpected place. So fast forward some 700 years. About these wise men, these wise kings, these astronomers who had looked up in the skies and seen the star, the light coming into the world, and known what to expect. And they'd come all that way to Jerusalem to ask and find out, where is the king that has been born? Because they're expecting that the king will be born in the capital, in Jerusalem. And they're expecting that the king who's in the throne room would probably know about it. And indeed, the king does know where to go, because he knows that they've been reading and studying, the priests and the scribes have been reading and studying the prophets for many hundreds of years to determine the when and the where of the line of David, the new king. And over these hundreds of years, they've learned and determined that this new king is going to be greater even than David. The new king will be the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who's going to make all the rights wrong and return the kingship to Israel, be the one of peace, as Micah calls him. So the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible tells us that at one time the rabbis applied no less than 456 passages of Scripture to the Messiah's person and salvation. They studied the Scriptures. They found 456 places where it talked about the Messiah, and they studied them all to determine and be ready to recognize the Messiah when he comes. So when the Messiah, when the
wise men ask,
they know for sure where he's going to be born. They say he's going to be born in Bethlehem, the city where David was born. So the question is then, why didn't those scribes and those Pharisees and Herod and all the people of Israel who've been reading all of these hundreds of texts for hundreds of years in anxious awaiting of the Messiah. Why didn't they recognize him when he came? I think it's because the package wasn't what they expected. You see, they'd been reading all these triumphant scriptures about lordship and kingship, and they were real excited about the ones that seemed to suggest that Jesus was going to come and destroy everyone. In fact, I mean, if you keep reading in Micah, just right after this, it says sword, and the land of Nimrod with the drawn sword. So they were real excited about those scriptures, and they
didn't focus as much
on the ones like from later in Micah, where he says that all that God wants is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And Jesus, he knew he'd be born in Bethlehem, but they never expected that he would be born as an outsider. One born into poverty, a Galilean. That's like being born outside of the in crowd. Right? The real Jews were in Judea, in Jerusalem. Galileans were like riffraff, marginalized, outsiders. Yes, he's of the line of David, but no great family. And yet, here are the blessings of home. Here we learn, as the wise men learned, how to recognize God's blessings even when they come in unexpected packages. Blessings in the humble package of a poor, unwed mob giving birth in a stable. So that 30 years later, Jesus himself would teach, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the hungry, for you will be filled. Blessing comes to the powerless and the oppressed." Well, that kind of blessing, that kind of home, surely makes Herod and all those who are in power fear and tremble. So what of us here? Michael, I'm not any of those things. What? How is this good news for me? I believe that the blessings of God with us come to us in the greatest way when we find peace. For Jesus is the one of peace through unity and solidarity with those whom have the packaging that Jesus came in. Those who are poor and marginalized. Those who are oppressed. Those who are on the outskirts of our society. When we work for love, peace, forgiveness, and reconciliation with the people whom God has declared blessed. When we get in solidarity with them, we find our blessing of home. And we remember that we follow a good shepherd, a good king, but one who takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, not around it. So it is there in these unexpected places, an unexpected packaging, I believe that the blessings of home, the blessings of Christmas, the blessing of God with us is found. So I invite you to join me and join our church this year as we seek to find the blessings that God has bestowed among the poor, among the kids and the families at Legacy, among those who are marginalized and oppressed, that we would find there our blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.